In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's many, many feasts, many, many gospels and epistles. Sometimes there's just one thing that hits me in a gospel or an epistle. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to break a rule here. You're really not supposed to admit this, but I haven't even thought about a sermon until about a minute before liturgy began. This has been a unique time in our life, difficult time, and I'm tired. Anybody who's gone through grief knows that it's kind of unpredictable. I haven't cried in a week, and I didn't anticipate crying now, but it's kind of something I wanted to say based on what the gospel said today. Actually, two gospels. Today is the name's day of Marina, St. Marina, the martyr. Because of that, we read this gospel about the woman who was a sinner. She goes and anoints the Lord's feet. And he has these beautiful and important things to say at the end of the reading when the Pharisees are thinking, how can he let a sinner touch him like that? And I'll talk about that in a moment. But what hit me first when I was kind of frenetically reading the readings, trying to figure out what I was going to say, is that the five loaves and the two fish, this is a miracle which is recounted in other Gospels as well, certainly in Mark and Luke. I think it's in John. I think it's in all four, isn't it? Pretty sure. In Matthew's accounting, which it doesn't have a certain detail that I think either Mark or Luke has, he says, all these people are here. They've all been listening to Jesus. It's a desert place. They're tired. They're hungry. There's nothing to eat. There's no place to get it. So they find a little boy who has five loaves, five barley loaves, and two fishes, which is enough maybe for a couple people to have a very small meal. And in another place, another gospel, it says, what is this among so many? So they had five loaves and two fish. So, of course, we know the story. Should be very familiar to you. He tells them to sit down. One of the Gospels tells how he tells them to sit down in certain ways. Then he blesses the food and he distributes it, and everybody has enough. So much that there are 12 full provision baskets. These are big baskets full of loaves and fish as leftovers. But it began with five loaves and two fish. Deborah likes to say sometimes when she's going to do something, I have just five loaves and two fish, and she offers what she has. And this woman, who was a sinner, she couldn't offer much to the Lord. She had no standing in society. She was really considered unclean by everybody, including, I'm sure, some of her clients, who considered her unclean when they weren't with her. The hypocrisy of the elite is not a recent phenomena. It's always been going on. But what does she offer to the Lord? She offered to the Lord five loaves and two fish. She went in, she wept, anointed his feet with her tears and with this fine oil so that the room was filled with the ointment. She just offered him something that she could. And I think that's a principle that we Christians must apply every single day to our life. We don't have much. We're not very smart. We're not very holy. We don't pray very well. But we have five loaves and two fish. And we got to be giving them out. And I think the reason why our lives and the lives in the church are mediocre is because we don't give out these five loaves and two fish. So I'll give you some examples. It might be a little disjointed, but this is all I could think about. So I've heard about this boy that he's a little soft, okay? He's a gentle spirit. I don't mean that he's gay or anything. He's just soft, you know? And so he gets bullied. And he even gets ignored and bullied in the church. Sings in the choir, but nobody really talks to him. Hardly anybody in the church talks to him or his mother. That's a travesty. You know, the kind of person who kind of like blends in with the wall that you don't see when you walk in a room. We should offer our 5 loaves and 2 fish to such a person, and talk to such a person, and befriend such a person. It's not earth-shattering, but it's Christianity. One thing that, in general, that Marina and I and my family has learned with the death of my son is that there's an enormous amount of people in need. We're not the only ones hurting. If you walk into Walmart, every third person is really, really hurting. And probably every 10th person is thinking about killing himself. They look normal, but they're going through terrible times. And we've heard a lot of this because we've had a lot of contact with people. This is the 50th day of my son's death, or the 50th day. It's considered to be his 50th day. It's also the 40th day of a young boy, not Orthodox, who killed himself because of an intolerable life, a lot of difficult problems, leaving behind many who are really loved him and are really hurting. I know these people. I've looked him in the eyes, talked to them. What can I offer those people? I can offer that I pray for their son or for their nephew or for their whatever. I always forget family relations stuff. I get confused by it. I can pray for him. And I can pray for those who are grieving him. It's one of the things that's come out of Daniel's death is that there's a lot of people who've had a loved one die in a sudden way. Accident, sudden illness, suicide, murder. I know about all those categories. And not only was their death sudden and inexplicable and sometimes violent, but then they have left behind those who love them, who are dealing with that kind of grief. This is what we can offer. We can offer our loaves and our fishes. We can pray for those people. We can give them our support. And I don't mean just going up and saying my condolences. I mean in some tangible way. As Christians, what we should be doing is saying, I will pray for him. And then do it. Don't just say it. It doesn't do any good just to say it. You got to say it and do it. And I found that even people that don't have a tradition of praying for the dead, when I tell them I'm praying for their son, you can see some relief in their heart, in their face. You can see some consolation. Of course, I'm really doing it now. I'm not just saying I'm doing it. So you can offer your 5 loaves and your 2 fish, which isn't a whole lot, but it gets multiplied, remember, because in the miracle, it fed everybody by being sensitive to people's needs. And by being aware, and by offering yourself to them, by talking to that kid who's a little weird, the one who blends in, the one who nobody talks to, the one who other people make fun of, by praying for people as they touch your heart. Now, if they don't touch your heart, then that's a different problem. I can't really help you with that. Only God can help you with that if people's need does not touch your heart. But if it does, even a little bit, then take note of it. And find a way to offer support to people. This might be a little bit too personal, but I'm just going to tell you flat out. Most everybody in the church should know that I lost my son 50 days ago. He's 20 years old. There's a lot of hard things about that. There's been some very powerful, positive things. But in general, it's a long slog. It's tiring. Grief is this weird thing. It's very fast and very hard, and it's very slow and very hard at the same time. So I'm doing things fast, and yet I think I'm moving slow. But it's always hard. Even when it's good, it's still hard. And so some of you have come up to Marina and me and said you're praying for Daniel. Others of you, yeah, I don't know what you're doing because you haven't told me. It's pretty obvious that that's the most important thing to me, because that's all I ever talk about, really. So that's how you can give 5 loaves and 2 fish for a problem that is pretty big. Now, perhaps you don't think you have any talent. Well, that's not true. You can pray. You can look somebody in the eye and tell them you care. You can do another thing. If this is too personal, I'm sorry. I'm not calling anybody out. But I've been serving liturgies for 40 days almost. 40 days will be in Friday. I'm beat. I'm just beat. Because it takes a lot out of you. It's not really a physical thing. It's just emotionally I am beat. But I'm going to keep doing it. Now, when we have a problem, when we have some difficult thing we're going through, it helps us, all of us, every single person in this room, when you know other people are with you, you know? When you know that they're behind you, when you know that they're pulling for you, they're praying for you, they're helping you in some way. Well, I've had liturgies every day, and not a whole lot of people are coming to them. Now, I understand that some of them are during the work week, but probably most of you didn't work yesterday. I remember when I was first baptized. I don't know how I just had this idea. Nobody really told me, but I just did. I've got a lot of weird ideas that other people don't have. And I just thought that even though I was just a brand new Christian, it was critical. It was my job. It was my obedience to be in church. Because if I was in church, and there would have been 3, and I make the 4th, it makes the room a little bit more warm. It's helpful to the pastor, because there's a few more people there. Or in case of me, just one more person there. So if I was capable of being in church, I was. I've always believed that and always done that before I was a priest. Of course, now as a priest, you know, I got to be here if there's going to be a service. But I could certainly plan to have less services. There are churches that are 10 times, or really 100 times our size, that don't have 1/10 of the services. They have a service on Sunday morning and that's it. But that's not Christianity. And so, I have these services. One way you could give 5 loaves and 2 fish is come to one of them. Can't come to all of them. Maybe you can come to Wednesday morning. Of course, I gave you the wrong day. I'll be in prison Wednesday morning. Thursday morning. Saturday morning. Of course, this next Saturday, I won't serve liturgy for the first time in 40 days. But you get my point. You look around you and say, how can I help somebody? Father Seraphim and Montesca Marina, they're obviously hurting. I mean, half the time Father Seraphim preaches a sermon, he cries. Obviously, it's tough. If you talk to Marina in a certain way, she'll start to cry. I mean, it's obvious it's a tough time. So you think, how can I help? Certainly help by prayer. I can help by saying that I'm going to pray. Maybe I can help by just showing up. This applies to everything in life. If there's a baptism, show up. Who wants to have a baptism of their child and only see 4 or 5 people? The church should be full, because then it shows that you really care. Now, perhaps I'm giving too many examples that are church-like examples, and I don't mean to do that, because there's moments every day that you can give your 5 loaves and 2 fish to somebody. You can talk to the weird person in the office. You can pray for the homeless guy that you see every week. You can make yourself available to somebody that, you know, they talk a little too much and they're kind of boring, but you can listen to them. It doesn't take talent to do that stuff. It doesn't take intelligence. It doesn't take a lot of theological understanding. Just take a heart that's open. And that's what I get from the gospel today and the 2 gospels, the one about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, which isn't a whole lot. And then the woman, who was a sinner, that's a code word for a prostitute. She was a repentant prostitute, but in people's eyes, once a prostitute, always a prostitute. I'm sure to the end of her days, she wasn't considered to be a very upstanding member of society. And it says at the end, Jesus says at the end, when he's defending her, he says, She loved much and therefore she's forgiven much. That's the whole point of living this life, to love like God loves, to give what you can. And if you give what you can, then it gets multiplied. I'll end this with a sort of tell you what I've been doing. I'm always changing my diptychs around and adding things to it. And I've become aware that there's so many problems. I can't fix them. I can't fix that a boy killed himself at the age of 13. I can't fix that. I can't fix their pain. But I can pray for them. I can pray for others who had suicides in their life. I can pray for others who've lost their loved one or are about to lose. I can even pray for people that I don't even know. So I'll give you an example. I have this, what I call my prostration list. Sometimes when I'm exhausted, it's not prostrations, but I have general categories of people that I pray for every day. Those who are in schism. Those who are being persecuted and being martyred. You hear us pray for persecuted and martyred people every single service. Do you pray for those? Do you understand that people are getting their heads cut off right now in Syria? That women or children or young girls are being raped in Egypt routinely? So I pray for the persecuted and martyred. All who are dying, because there are people dying today, they're going to be dead today or tomorrow. Those who have lost someone suddenly. Those who are troubled by grief. Those who are contemplating suicide. There's people who are thinking about it right now. Maybe our little loaves and fish will cause, through some way, mechanism we don't understand, for them to not kill themselves, to find their way. I think I've told you the story before. The true story. About a boy who was just tired of being bullied at school. And he decided, I'm done. I'm going to kill myself. He didn't tell anybody. He wasn't dramatic about it. But he cared about his mother. He didn't want his mother to have to go back to school and get all the books and everything. So he brought all his books home. There were a lot of books. And he's getting off the bus. And there's so many books and they all fall. And everybody's laughing at him. I think he was being kicked around some. And the books are scattered and he's trying to pick them up. And one of the boys kind of separated people and picked up the books and carried them home with him. He happened to be like one of those popular kids, you know, kind of like the quarterback kind of person. But he cared enough that he didn't like somebody being abused. So he carried his books home. Because of that, what do they call those? Random acts of kindness that aren't random? The kid didn't kill himself. He had just this little bit of hope. And they actually became good friends. Totally opposite social strata in the high school. They became good friends. Lifetime friends. And that boy didn't kill himself. He didn't know carrying books was going to keep a boy from killing himself. So, I pray for those who are contemplating suicide. Those who are anxious. Those who are depressed. Seems like the illness of choice now in our modern society. Those who are in despair, there's a difference between depression and despair, but we won't go into that right now. All who are contemplating or have had or support or profit from or are indifferent concerning abortion. All drug addicts. I still see this drug addict that we saw in Germany. She had pock marks on her face, you know, because with certain drugs, especially heroin and stuff, they'll, when they're not high, they'll be going at their skin and picking at their skin and stuff. And their skin has a kind of a sallow, kind of unhealthy look about it because of malnutrition. Her hair was blonde, but it looked really, really brittle, you know. She was thin, and she was on the U-Bahn. So I actually have written her, I don't know her name, so I just say, the girl on the U-Bahn, when I pray for her. That's not even five loaves. That might be a half of a loaf. But at least it's something. I pray for those who are sexually immoral. Because it never leads to good things for a person. All those without any true purpose. All those estranged from the church. Those who barely pray. Those who are secular. And then for the departed. All who died today all who were within their 40 days, all who died suddenly or violently or without repentance, or by suicide or in despair or in bitterness or in anger, or died without asking forgiveness of those they wronged, or died throughout the ages. I don't want anybody to be going to hell, so I'll pretty much cover everybody. Perhaps that'll give you some ideas. Perhaps your heart will reach out and you want to pray for people in a specific condition. And this is not comprehensive by any means, but what you'll be doing if you're praying for people that touch your heart, or if you're listening to people that nobody else listens to, or if you're being kind to people that nobody else is kind to, is you're giving 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You're giving what you got. And then the Lord will multiply it. I think this is the gospel, to live like this, to give to those who have need. Even in the smallest way, you give what you got. You can't give more than what you have. But if you don't get what you give what you have, you're as much of a miser as a billionaire who doesn't give anything to the poor. Because you must give what you have. So you got a lot. You got a lot more than you think. Because those 5 loaves and 2 fish fed an entire multitude of over 5,000 men, and then women and children in addition. So what, a crowd of 20,000 at least? From 5 loaves and 2 fish. So that's what you should be doing. You should be looking out today. Who can you give your 5 loaves and your 2 fish to? And of course, as soon as you give them away, you still have more. No matter how much you give love, you don't lack it. It's always renewing. So find some people to give some loaves and fish to today, tomorrow, and the next day. Because that's Christianity. God bless you.